I'd like to welcome you to a very special Sunday. How many of you have seen this presentation before, Christ in the Passover? How many are new, have not seen it? Very good, very good. We are just going to go ahead and get started after I move this monitor a little bit out of my way. There's a couple of terms that we need to understand before we get started that I will be referring to during this presentation of the Passover Seder. And the first term is Orthodox Jew. Now, an Orthodox Jew is someone who follows the letter of the law as far as the Old Testament, believe in the Torah. Some of them believe in the sacred writings of the Old Testament. Some of them do not. But for the most part... Oh, I just noticed something here. Now, I have this wonderful Passover Seder set up and all of the elements, and we're going to learn that the Passover actually tells the story or retells the story of the Exodus, God's delivering his people out of Egypt. And there's all these wonderful things here, and then there is this. There are peeps. Now, Jesus celebrated the Passover. It is known as the Last Supper. I guarantee there were no peeps there. And what makes these peeps even worse, because I can't stand these nasty little creatures, it says, "Go 49ers on them." Yes. Thank you. We'll just... file this. All right. Oh man. You know that? I never liked curveballs. I like throwing them, but there are. Okay. Focus. I guess if you go 4-11, then you have the or 5-11. You have the right to do whatever you want as far as 49er fans. Okay, let's refocus here. All right, so there are two terms, Orthodox Jews, and there are Messianic Jews. Messianic Jews are Orthodox Jews, except that they believe that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. Yeshua Mashiach. They believe that he fulfilled all of the prophecies, all of the requirements of what the Messiah was going to be. And there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that said, this is what the Messiah will be, this is where he'll be born, this will be the characteristics of who he is. Jesus fulfilled every single one of those prophecies. So they are Messianic Jews. All right? So I'm going to read out of Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 27. And basically, this is establishing what the Passover is and why we are celebrating it today. Actually, Passover does not start until, I believe, it's April 22nd this year. It usually is close to Easter time, but a little bit different. So I'm going to read out of Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 27. It says, "Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on top and on both sides of the door frames. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down.'" So he's about to release the last plague. "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when the children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.'" So the Passover was to be a lasting ordinance. In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the appointed times or the appointed festivals, the Moedim, There were seven Mo'edim that God said, you must remember these things. You must repeat these things year after year. And this is actually the start of their new year. The Jewish new year starts with the Passover. And the Passover kicks off the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at what exactly was the Passover. What is it? Because it is still celebrated. It is still done by Messianic Jews and Orthodox Jews. But we're going to look at the end of this as to why, Pastor Jim, are you doing this? This is Jewish. This is something that they do. It makes no sense. We celebrate Easter. But I'll tell you what. Jesus did not pass on Easter to his disciples. And later on, Paul says, I pass on to you what Christ passed on to me. And it wasn't Easter. It was Pesach. It was Passover. It was what was to be done according to God from the Old Testament when he brought them out. So the Orthodox Jews, we talked about then, the Messianic Jews. The Passover Seder, this is what this is. This is actually a meal. And Seder, the word simply means order. So what we have during this meal are elements that help us to remember how God brought his people out of Egypt and out of slavery. Messianic Jews also remember the Exodus, but they also lift up and see Jesus Christ in the Passover. There are certain things, if you ask a rabbi, well, why is this? Why is this? And he'll say, we don't know. And these things, there are certain elements on this table that were required in the Bible. And they are still used today. But over time, during Jeremiah and Ezra, they began to add certain elements to the Passover Seder, to the Passover meal. And even today, if you go to a Seder in someone's home, it may be a little bit different. They may have different things. But they also say if you ever go to a Seder, make sure you go very hungry because it is a long and fulfilling meal. There are sometimes 5 to 6 main courses in a Seder meal, and it can take up to 6 hours just to have the Passover Seder. I promise this one will not last 6 hours, and that's for your benefit. And I really don't have the time to do that either because I have a nap in my future this afternoon. So Seder means order. And to kick off the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the main thing, the main focus for Orthodox Jews is the avoidance of chametz. Now, chametz is simply sin. It is unleavened. And in the Bible, it often talks about leaven being sin in the Bible. And so the Orthodox Jews and Messianic Jews as well, but a couple weeks before the Seder or before the Passover starts, they begin to clean. And it's, don't stone me for this one, it is the job of the head of the house, the woman, to do the cleaning. I did not make that up. Just take it up with the Jews, okay? But it is there. She starts to clean, and she'll actually take Q-tips and toothpicks and go around the edges of the stove, the top, and in the grooves. I don't know if you've ever looked at the grooves of when you open your refrigerator. You'll notice next time, and you may take a Q-tip to it because you just don't notice these things. But they go through and they make sure that there is no leavened bread in the house. So they do this for 2 weeks. On the morning before Passover, the Seder, the whole family gathers together and they go throughout the house and they say, we cannot start the Feast of Unleavened Bread or the Passover until we get rid of all of the chametz in the house. So they will not have any in there. And there's actually, in Orthodox Jewish communities, there is a place that they can take their leaven and store it during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then when it's over, they can go back and reclaim all of their stuff. But they get rid of all of the leaven. So everybody in the household is going around. The woman takes one little crumb and she will place it in the house. And so it's a game to try to find out where the chametz is. So once the chametz is found, then the head of the household takes a feather and a wooden spoon and a napkin. And I could not find out why, but that's what they do. So he will, instead of touching it, because you can't touch the leaven, otherwise you cannot go through the Passover. So he will take the feather and he'll hold the spoon and he'll brush the chametz or the little crumb onto the wooden spoon. And then he'll take a napkin and he'll put it all together and wad it up. And they'll take it outside and say, our home has been cleansed of leaven. Now we can begin the Passover. So it's just, that was never done back then. But we see that when Jesus was going to celebrate the Passover with his disciples for the last time, he said, go ahead and make the preparations for the Passover. So there was things that needed to be done in order to be kosher. So that would be the first part of the Passover. There are certain elements that you will find in certain houses. One of them would be pillows and chairs. And if you read the Bible, it says that when you eat this in haste. You are to tuck your cloak into your belt, and you are to eat it standing up because you're getting ready to go. In the Middle East back then, slaves ate standing up. So if you go to an Orthodox Jew or Messianic Jew for a Seder, there are pillows, there are cushions, there are lots of comfortable chairs to sit in, and the freed men were the ones that ate sitting down and comfortable. So the first one, they were to eat it standing up in haste because they were still slaves. But now they are no longer slaves. We are freed men. We will recline and we will be comfortable. Let's see, what else do we have? Okay, so the beginning of the Passover is the honor is given to the woman of the house. And it is the candle lighting, the nerot. And so the woman of the house will come up and she will say a blessing and she will light the candles. And Messianic Jews believe that it is only proper for the woman to light the candles because it was through a woman that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, came into the world. So she has the honor of establishing and starting off the Passover Seder. After that, they take the first cup, and you'll notice there are four cups of wine up here. Each person only gets one cup, but you fill it four times. And you fill it to the person next to you. So the person that's sitting next to you is the one that will fill your cup. Because we are equals. We are all freed men here. I am here to serve you. You are here to serve me. We're equal. So you have one cup, but during the Seder meal, they will be drunk at different times. And each one of these cups means something different. The first cup that we have is called the cup of sanctification. And these cups all coincide to the promises that God made to Moses. So the first cup, the cup of sanctification, is the promise, I will bring you out of slavery. I hear your cries, and I will bring you out. So this is a cup of setting apart and a cup with a promise. I will bring you out. The second cup is the cup of deliverance. It says, I will free you. You will no longer be slaves. So this is the cup of deliverance. The third cup is the cup of redemption. It says, I will redeem you. I will purchase you. I will be the one that takes care of that and will redeem you to myself. The fourth cup is the cup of restoration or the cup of praise. And it means, I will take you as my own. You will be mine. So we go from a promise to a deliverance, to a redemption, to a praise of saying, you're going to be my people. You're going to be my kids. So those four cups are drank at a different time during the meal. So the first cup after the lighting of the Nerot is the cup of sanctification. I will bring you out is the cup with the promise. Then what we have here is called a Seder plate. And it has it's not for deviled eggs. It looks like it is, but it's not. But it has all of the elements that help to tell the story of the Exodus. Some of the other elements are matzah bread. Now you notice it's like a cracker. There is no leaven in this bread. Otherwise it would not be allowed in the Passover. But if you notice, it has holes in it. And there are stripes on it as well. And when Jesus was doing his Passover, he said, take this bread and eat it. I am the bread of life. And it's interesting, you can ask a rabbi and say, Rabbi, why is this pierced and striped and have no leaven? And he'll go, I don't know. But if you ask a messianic Jewish rabbi, he will say, Jesus had no leaven. There was no sin in him. He was pierced for our transgressions, and by his stripes, we are healed. So Jesus identifies with the matzah. So this is one of the elements of the meal. Then we have the karpas. And basically, this is parsley. This represents the lowly origins of the Jewish people. They came out of a land that was not their own. They went into slavery. God brought them out. They were slaves for over 400 years in Egypt. So this represents their lives, their lowly origins. It also represents life. And so when they eat the karpas, they take it, but they dip it in salt water. And salt water symbolizes tears. So when they eat the karpas, they say, thank you, Lord, for the life that you have given us, but it is dipped in tears because they are in slavery. They want to remember that God delivered them from slavery. So it represents life. It represents the tears that were shed as a result of their slavery, but it also represents the people, their lives, passing through the Red Sea when God delivered them out of Egypt. So yes, Lord, we are thankful, and our lives, we understand, are full of tears. So that is the karpas. The next part is the maror. Maror is horseradish. These are part of the bitter herbs that it talks about in Exodus. Now the marors are a reminder of the tears that were shed while they were in bondage in Egypt. So you take a big old dollop of the horseradish and you put it on the matzah and you eat it. And it is to remind you that when you were in slavery, there were tears. Now, do I have any people that want to, any volunteer that would like to come up and, Sam? I love horseradish. Well, then you are not eligible to eat this because you will enjoy it. There's always one. There's always one. But no, it's when you eat, if you eat this, do you eat this much horseradish on just a cracker? Okay, come on up here, Sam. Come on. You like horseradish. Enjoy.
Thank you. Ooh, that's a lot.
No, not a lot at all. You good? It's been expired for like a year and a half.
I might expire.
But what it does, it is to remind you, when you eat that much horseradish, are your eyes watering, Sam, or are you just enjoying it?
No, I think it's older stuff.
But I'll tell you what, they call it Jewish dristan, Because it clears your sinuses. And it will cause, in most people that are not like Sam, it will cause tears. So it helps to say, you know what? When we were in slavery, we were filled with tears because of that. Messianic Jews also use this as, you know what? When we were in slavery, before we knew him, we were still under the law. We are in slavery to sin, and now we have been set free. We need to remember where we have come from, and that's why they do this every year. So we have the Maror. The Messianics also believe that we have caused Jesus to weep because of our sins. So that helps to remind us of the pain that we have caused him. If you came to Reflections of Calvary, how you doing, Sam? You doing all right, buddy? Okay. All right. So, all right. Next is the Chadaset. And I'm going to have Sam come back up. Come on. I'm doing this to help you out, Sam. Really, I am. This is Chadaset. And it is the symbol of the mortar that they made the bricks out of when they were in slavery. However, it is made with apples and nuts and wine and honey. And so they'll say, well, why if it's so sweet, if it represents the mortar? And the thing is they remember the hope that they had when God said, I will bring you out. Even though they were still in slavery, there was a sweetness to the hope that God was going to deliver them. And what it does... I'm going to let you take as much as you want of that. A little better? Mm-hmm. What that does, that should help temper the bitterness that he had before. So, the hope of God delivering them is the sweetness that they can hold on to. As Messianic Jews, as Christians, we have the hope of the promise that he will come again. Amen? Go ahead, Sam. Thank you. The next element is the bitter root. It is mentioned in Exodus, and it is actually the horseradish root. Sam, you want to come up and give this one a whirl? You can. I'll give you a pass if you want. Okay, come on up. This is the Chazaret. Chazaret. And this, how much do you want of it? You want to just gnaw on this one? Or what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you one of those.
Okay.
And this just shaved off.
Right.
Yeah. So this is Chazaret. This is the bitter root. And this is... Is it bitter? This is to symbolize what Pharaoh did to them cannot be stomached.
It has more bite than the earlier horseradish.
Oh yes, yeah. This is actually fresh too. Yeah. So this is, and I would like to thank Kim Brake for setting me up with a lot of these elements. She made the Chadaset. She picked up the bitter root for me. So thank you. Would you like some more Chazaret? Another spoonful of brick mortar. Take care of that. You can take it with you if you want.
Okay,
no, you can go. Unless you want some carpus. So that is to represent what Pharaoh did to our people. It cannot be stomached. All right? So those are the elements that would have been there at the Passover when Jesus celebrated the Passover. These next items were not present, and you'll find out why. The first one is the Chagigah. Chagiga, and this is simply a brown egg. And what this represents is the sacrifices, the free will sacrifices that they used to bring. When they did the Passover, they would bring their sacrifices to the temple, and they would offer them to God, and then they would go home, and they would have the Passover meal. This is to represent the mourning that the temple is no longer there. And what they do is they will peel this, and then they will dip it in the salt water, which represents tears. And this is a remembrance as they eat that, that they, Orthodox Jews, are sad that they can no longer offer sacrifices, free will sacrifices to God. The second part of that is the zeruah. And the reason that they use an egg is the Jews, when they had a funeral, after the funeral, they had a big meal. The Jews ate, they celebrated everything with food. And the first thing that they served to the mourners who went to the funeral were boiled eggs. So it was associated with mourning to begin with. So they use that, they dip it in the tears, they mourn the fact that the temple is no longer there. Then we have the zeruah, which is the lamb shank, a bone. They do not have, most of them do not have, some of them do, but most do not have a sacrificial lamb anymore. Now remember, the sacrifice at the temple, usually the lamb sacrifice was boiled. Jesus says, do not boil the Passover lamb. It is to be roasted. So this lamb shank is mourning the fact that there is no more temple to take the sacrificial lamb to. And so a lot of them will not have lamb at the Passover. Jesus would have had the lamb because the temple was still there. It is no longer there, so they incorporated this to remember and mourn the temple. Then we have what we call the matzah tash. And basically, it is a plate, and some people have it a little pouch. And it is the next part of the meal is called the yachatz, and it means divide. So we have a matzah tash, but it has three different sections, but it is all one. So we have three in one. And you can ask a Jewish rabbi, an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, well, why is there three in one? What does that represent? And he will say, I don't know. He says, perhaps it represents the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Perhaps it represents the establishment of the Levites, the priests, the Levites, and the people. Messianic Jews believe that it represents the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here's why that really makes sense after we learn what they do with the second portion, which is called the afikomen. So at the Seder meal, they will take, or before the Seder meal, they will take this. I want to make sure I'm in the right spot. They will take the second one, which is called the afikomen, which means the bread of affliction, and it means the one who is to come. They will take it, and they will break it, and they will put it in a bag. And this is the afikomen. And what they will do is they will take this bag, and they... Am I right here? I think I am. They will take this bag and they will hide it in the house to be found later by the younger kids. So this disappears and it's gone for a while. Remember, it's the second part. So after that, the afikomen is hidden for later, and then they take up the second cup. And this is the cup of deliverance. And they take that up and they do something that's a little bit different. They take this and then they go into what they call the magid. They do not drink it right away. They pour it, but they do not drink it. So the magid is basically telling the story. So they begin to tell the story of the Exodus, how God delivered them out of Egypt. And there are questions that are asked. Why is this night different? Why is it that we have to rid our homes of unleavened of the leaven? How come this is different than all the other nights? We can't have these things. Why we're doing these things? What does this all mean? So the story begins to unfold, and they tell the story of the Exodus. When they get to the part about the plagues, they take their cup, and they have a plate in front of them. When they get to the plagues, they dip their finger in the wine for every one of the plagues. They get to the, they'll turn, God turned the water into blood, and they'll dip it on the plate. Then they'll go to the next one. They'll dip it on the plate. They'll go through the 10 plagues, and those are set aside. Those are not drunk. Because they are even to mourn the fact that God had to do this to the Egyptians. These plagues were horrible. And we will not revel in what happened to the Egyptians. But then, after the last plague, then they drink it because God delivered us when he said, I will free you. Now we partake of the second cup. And they say a blessing and they say, thank you for delivering us from the bondage of slavery. And they drink it. So that is the second cup. Then the meal begins. And it can last for quite some time. Towards the end of the meal, after it is over, then the head of the household goes, okay, kids, time to find the afikoman, the one that is to come. And so they go all around and they're looking for that. And when they find it, they bring it back to the table and they give it to the head of the household. And he takes it out of the bag. And he holds it up and he blesses it. And he breaks off a piece for everybody and begins to hand it to everybody there. And they eat. Now, this is after the meal. So then, after they do this, they pick up the third cup. And this is the cup of redemption. And it says, I will redeem you. So we have the middle part, the bread of affliction. Remember that it has no leaven, which means sin, the chametz. It is pierced. It is striped. It goes away for a while. It comes back. And it is called the cup of redemption. It is this that has redeemed them. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and he broke it. And said, this is my body. And then it says, after the supper, he took the cup. After the supper was over, which cup is that? It is the third cup. What is that cup? The cup of redemption. He's saying, I am. This is my blood. The blood of a new and everlasting covenant. When you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. Remember what I have done. I have redeemed you. And they took the wine and they drank together. Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. And it says, and he took the cup, or took the bread, he gave thanks and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This is the last thing he did officially before he was crucified with his disciples. He is saying, I am the fulfillment of what God established as an ordinance thousands of years ago. I am the fulfillment in this. So Orthodox Jews remember God delivering them out of slavery. We are to remember that Christ is in the Passover. He is all throughout the Passover. You can ask a rabbi, well, why is it the second one? We don't know. Messianic Jews, they do know. Christians, they do know. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. And I'm going to go ahead and have the music ministry team come up. And this is Paul speaking. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Paul received this directly from Jesus, who was Jewish. And he said, remember, God said thousands of years ago, remember, this is an ordinance. These are the appointed times, the appointed festivals. Do not forget them. Jesus kept that going 2,000 years later and passed it on to Paul. Paul passed it on. I'm passing on to you what Jesus passed on to me. Somewhere between 2 AD 35 to 70 to the year 2016, it's been lost. Except in Orthodox Jews. They have kept it alive but don't understand Christ in the Passover. They don't accept that Jesus is the one. He is the Yeshua Mashiach, the Messiah, the one that was promised. And Jesus goes on, and you probably wonder, well, what about the fourth cup? Jesus says, I will no longer drink the wine with you until we're together in the Father's house. He didn't drink this. It is the cup of restoration. It is the cup of praise. It is the cup that says, I will take you for my own. And he says, I can't drink this with you now. But when we get into my Father's house, we will share this cup together. We will share this together. For all those who know him, for all those who accepted the sacrifice, the blood that he shed, for all those that receive that free gift, he says, I can't drink it with you now, but we will drink it together in my Father's house. The cup of restoration. It's the cup of praise. What a beautiful story. And unfortunately, most Christians have no idea. Most Christians have never seen this before. Here at New Hope Christian Center, you see it every year. Why? Because it is a lasting ordinance by God so that we do not forget. This is what Easter is about. Easter is alive and well in our culture. And unfortunately, Easter will not tell you about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You'll say, yes, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But do you realize that it goes back? It was prophesied 4,000 or 5,000 years ago that he would come, that he would fulfill all of these things. It says in the Bible, we're supposed to pass this on to our kids. They are to know these things so that they don't forget. We are to pass this on as Christians, as believing Christians. Guess what? Jesus says, you know what? There will be no Jew or Gentile. Just my kids. But I'll tell you what, that vine that we are grafted into is Jewish. Jesus was a Jew. Whether you like it or not. And there were things that they were supposed to remember. Here at New Hope, we're going to remember. We had some fun today, Sam. Thank you very much. But you know what? I hope that during this season, we actually remember what it's about. We were told, don't forget these things. Why? Because we forget these things. These things have been lost. Except by the Orthodox Jews and the Messianic Jews for a long time. They started calling it Easter when they did the King James in the King James Version. I was talking with Suzanne. The word Easter is in the Bible only in the King James Version. That's it. So King James thought, their translators thought it was more appropriate, I don't know how many years ago, to put Easter instead of Passover. But if you look at the Greek word, it's Paschal. The Hebrew word, it's Pesach. It's not Easter. It's Passover. So we are to remember what Jesus did for us so that we can teach it to our kids. We can pass these things on. Well, why do we do these things differently? Because we need to remember. They are the Mo'edim. They are the appointed times, the appointed festivals. And God did not say, you know what, I want you to remember to do this every year until about AD 1000. Then you can just go ahead and forget it all. No. He did not put a time limit on it. So today, we remember that Christ is in the Passover. Amen? Please stand. You know, if you're here and some of this really doesn't make sense to you, what's the deal with the blood? Why did Jesus have to die? Why did his blood have to be shed? I don't understand. When we sin against God, when we are disobedient to his ways, we are separated from him. And when they were originally, for the original sin with Adam and Eve, there had to be a blood sacrifice. God clothed them with the skins of an animal. An animal had to die. And what that symbolized, and God says, it is in the blood that I require the sacrifice, because it is the life of the animal. And the whole sacrificial system that God set up was someone, something innocent has to die to pay for that. Either you die or there can be a substitute. And so they sacrificed animals. But that blood only covered their sin. It did not remove it. And when Jesus came along, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." So that through his blood that was spilled, we have redemption and we are restored in a relationship with God. That's what it is. When the Israelites were told to take the blood of the lamb that they sacrificed and put it on the top of the door frame and both sides of the door frame. Messianic Jews believed that this was the sign of the cross. Put it on the top of the door frame. Put it on the sides of the door frame. And we are to do that. The things in the Old Testament were types and shadows of things to come. The original Passover Seder was types and shadows of things to come. Jesus came and says, "I am the fulfillment. I didn't come to abolish it, the law. I came to fulfill the law." So that through his perfect sacrifice, accepting that, we become his children. We have the blessed hope that we will be reunited with him. Because that's what he wants more than anything. So the life is in the blood. And it says that the wages of our sin is death. Something has to die. And Jesus has stepped forth and said, "I will die for them." And he is a perfect sacrifice. So his blood not only covers, it erases, it gets rid of, it cleanses. So that we are made white as snow. When God looks at us, he sees the sacrifice of his son and says, "My son's blood has paid their debt." That's what it means to be one of his kids. And if you've never understood it, you didn't understand, well, what's the deal with the blood? Why did all of this happen? What's the deal with the thing? Jesus said, this is my blood. You must drink of my blood. That's the reason why. He was the perfect sacrificial lamb. So I don't do this very often, but I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you've never accepted the blood sacrifice that Jesus died for you to pay that price that you couldn't pay, and you've never accepted that, and now you're kind of going, you know what? I understand. I want to partake with God in his house. I want to drink that fourth glass of wine, that fourth cup of wine, the cup of restoration with my God. It is a free gift. It is God's grace. It is free to you. And if you want to accept that today and you have not, simply just put your hand up. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. And say, yes, I want to accept the free gift, the blood that was shed. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. And I pray that not one person would leave this place that has not made that decision to accept the blood that was shed for each and every one of us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have recorded these things in your scripture so that we would not forget. Now it is up to us to not forget. So, Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that during this crazy Easter season, that we would remember that you are in the Passover, that this season is about redemption. It is about the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Messiah that was prophesied about thousands and thousands of years ago. Thank you, Heavenly Father, and release us now. In your name we pray. Amen. If you